Kale and Company weekday mornings 6 till 10.
What do we have? Low 100,000, yes. Low six figures?
Yeah, 100,000.
I think $120, $125 is well achievable.
I agree. And I'm calling everybody out to make sure you be as generous as you possibly can. For the hours of entertainment this radio station gives you all day long, all evening long, all weekend long. Now with the addition to Phil Almquist with the This Ooh. Week in Music History debuting this Saturday night on 1210 WPHD from 11 p.m. to 1 a.m. Just giving you a wide variety of different things. And we ask that one day a year you be generous with us and open up your wallets for a good cause as much as you can give. 25 cents is fine. You know what I mean? 25 bucks is fine. Whatever you can give is great. We'll have a lot of cool incentives too, like the music. I got a lot of comments on the music yesterday. People liked it. We'll be giving away playlists again, you know, where you can choose the music we play for a week for a set amount of money, and we're gonna do that. I'll give up the rights to the music on this show from now until the end of the year if people play enough or if people pay enough money.
So what's the right price? As Ted DiBiase once said, everybody's got a price.
I'm not sure. I'm not sure what they're going to go for yet. Obviously, if you tune in and do it early in the morning, they'll be less than they will be later when we're, you know, really trying to raise a lot of money, so that's why you should get your donations in starting at 6 a.m.
Yeah.
Because we'll have a lot of good incentives that might go for a little bit more later on in the day. So
we start at 6 a.m.
That's right.
Exactly. And now that eggs are down by 44%, you should have more disposable income to donate to Travis sure. Mannion Foundation.
Sure.
Gas prices are down. Eggs now, I think, on average nationwide, $3.45.
Yep.
Although I'm not seeing it, my Aldi still has them for $5.97. I'm going to go in there and raise havoc today, ask them what they're doing.
Yeah, I think it's amazing, you know, even during the pandemic when we held this great event and we took some hits there. But now I just think this year is the comeback year.
You calling the comeback right now?
Yeah, because it has taken a while.
Yeah.
You know, it's just such an inspirational day. And you never know who's going to show up here live in the hub, who will be here. It's just such an exciting day.
Yep.
Yep.
It really is.
Indeed, indeed. All right, let's get down to the news. Round number two at 7:09. Here is the great Dawn Stensland.
Good morning, Kale and Company News Live on this beautiful day. Even though we're starting out chilly, I know that we started out freezing in some areas in the low 40s, but we're going to heat up and it's going to be lovely. Sponsored by Natural Lawn of America on this day. In the news locally, some police action investigations. We know that according to Philadelphia police, a teenager was able to drive his bullet-riddled vehicle several blocks after he was shot. This at a gas station late last night. This is still under investigation. So 17-year-old shot at the Luke Oil gas station. This is South 58th Street and Baltimore Ave. It was around 11 p.m. last night into this morning, according to Philadelphia police. Despite that, he managed to drive himself maybe eight to 10 blocks down Baltimore Avenue before first responders were able to pick this guy up and took the teen to the hospital. He's in the hospital right now, stable condition, gunshot wound to his shoulder, bullet-riddled vehicle. So investigators they're still looking into this. It's an active investigation. Who pulled the trigger? They're looking at surveillance video because this is a Luke Oil. So a lot of those gas station, you know, surveillance cams are there. So they're trying to track down that shooter. Was it a targeted attack? Was it an attempted carjacking? I just don't have that information for you.
No.
Got that going on. In Delaware County in the suburbs, this is a Delco man, according to police. He's accused of raping at least two people. Police say more victims may be out there. He's identified as 30-year-old Nafias Alexander, Darby, PA, arrested and charged with rape by force, sex assault, false imprisonment. I mean, these are some serious felony charges. Very concerning for Darby, for Delco, with this situation. Kind of a scary situation. They believe that there are more victims out there. We're being told that he was picked up He was then released after he was able to post 10% of his $100,000 bail. And then yesterday, he was arrested again after somebody else came forward accusing him of rape. And so now charged with rape, sex assault, other related offenses, and his bail set this time at $500,000, meaning he would have to make, you know, obviously 10% of that $50,000. So the one of the stories here that's concerning in the community and creating some controversy is if this guy was accused of rape and weapons charges and rape by force charges, why did they allow this guy out?
Yeah, why was he able to post bond earlier, right?
Yes.
Could be a serial rapist. Ugh,
just awful.
So that's making some significant headlines this morning. We talked earlier, other headlines as far as the American student, a University of Pittsburgh student, 20 years young, who was last seen out, you know, on spring break, enjoying herself with some friends. We now know that she, her parents, in an emotional plea, they have asked those officials to, in fact, just release the investigation, believing that their 20-year-old beautiful daughter, that she, in fact, drowned. Just a story that's been making national headlines for not quite 24 hours. I believe this happened maybe mid-morning yesterday, but just a tragedy there by all accounts. We've been talking about that story. And then as well, some other headlines making news. We've been talking about the 80,000 pages of previously unseen files related to the assassination of President JFK, John F. Kennedy, released yesterday in part. That release of info started last night after President Trump made the long-awaited announcement just one day earlier at the Kennedy Center. And so I know Tulsi Gabbard, she's been very busy, National Intelligence Director. She's been commenting on this. She says that it's ushering in a new era of maximum transparency. So that from Tulsi Gabbard, as we know that they've promised all of this. So we're looking at that one. We also have a federal judge yesterday blocking President Trump's executive order, which banned transgender people from enlisting or serving in the U.S. military. So this is D.C. U.S. District Judge Anna Reyes, and she ruled that Trump's executive order violates the Equal Protection Clause because the judge writes that it discriminates based on transgender status and sex.
Mm-hmm.
And Judge Reyes, here's another quote, says Trump's executive order is, quote, soaked in animus.
This coming from the U.S. District Court judge for the District of Columbia that was selected by Joe Biden back in February of 2023. And did you know that she is the first openly LGBTQ person to serve as a judge? Maybe a conflict of interest here from a Biden appointed judge just 2 years ago. Maybe she's got a little bit of feelings involved with Mr. Hegseth's decision to say that the military is above and beyond for the LGBTQ community as far as being fit to serve. Maybe just a little.
Well, we don't have I don't have comment from the Trump administration just yet. The judge held off because obviously there's going to be a back and forth. And so this ruling, there's a hold off on it until this Friday because they know what's coming is that DOJ and the White House will respond in court. And this could end up in the Supreme Court of the United States of America.
Yep, I would agree. Just like the USAID story. Obama appointed judge saying that DOGE is essentially unconstitutional and they must restore access for employees. So I guess if you've been let go, you're now all of a sudden going to receive payments and have your email again for the time being.
So all of these cases, all of these situations are in the court, and will that one, how many will end up in the Supreme Court of the United States? I'm not sure, but we're following every one of them. It looks like we should see an answer from the White House on this particular case by Friday. That's their deadline.
Yep.
Right now, there's a criminal probe into the Sunoco pipeline leaks that have been happening in Bucks County. A huge concern, a lot of community meetings. We've been covering this. So we know that Jen Shorn, the district attorney there in Bucks County, was very concerned about this, investigated it, and then kicked it up to requested in Pennsylvania, the attorney general, Dave Sunday, requested that they investigate this, which they are. So it's now under the umbrella of the environmental crimes section in the Commonwealth of Pennsylvania. This spill, we know, involves jet fuel as well as other petroleum products. I reported to you a week or two ago that Sunoco, they are no longer answering questions in these public forums, in these public meetings, which became very emotional. And this after the Sunoco Twin Oak Newark pipeline, it's operated by Energy Transfer, spans more than 100 miles from Philadelphia to North Jersey to Newark. The question is this the only spot? There are many questions. Is this the only spot where the leak happened? Sunoco has said they've complied with every order, with everything, that they've cleaned everything up. They did acknowledge that the leak happened last month, but residents say that they've been reporting issues for nearly 2 years now, and that's a grave concern. So we have that one going on as well. And then we've been talking about the astronauts who splashed home, greeted by dolphins and their fellow Americans, everybody talking about this as, yes, the astronauts are finally home after 9 months at the International Space Station. Suni Williams, Butch Wilmore, finally returning to Earth after a little over 9 months. They were supposed to be there a little over a week, and that really now went into this precedent-setting visit there to the ISS. So thanks to SpaceX, Elon Musk, we heard President Trump saying that, in fact, he tasked Musk with bringing them home. Not a good look for Boeing. There were some technical problems, so certainly not a good look. NASA, very celebratory.
Mm-hmm.
The question now that we'll ask, this was obviously a huge success for SpaceX Dragon, the capsule along, and that's what brought them home. But there were problems with Boeing Starliner capsule. So what does that mean for the future of Boeing? They have to answer these questions. But I did see there was a moment where the audio of the astronauts thanking Elon Musk personally and as well Butch Wilmore thanking President Trump,
mm-hmm.
saying thank you. Thank you, President Trump, for bringing us home.
Yeah.
So a lot of emotion yesterday.
Yeah. I'm just really trying to process how the fact that these dolphins were more excited to see these astronauts than my wife and daughters are to see me when I return home from work each day. I'm doing something wrong.
Well, there are studies about that, about why is it, that's why I think people get a dog, especially maybe a cat.
Oh, yeah.
Sometimes your dog is more excited to see you than anybody in your life.
Yes.
Right?
Yes. And I'm a stickler with my dog, but he loves when I come home.
It's like, oh.
Wagging that tail like a madman.
Obviously.
He is.
So we have all that going on. Let's talk about the forecast today. We are going to reach 70 degrees, a beautiful sunny day. Tomorrow, 67 degrees with some rain on the way, but still nice and warm today. I don't know if you're looking for a little hump day, little golf action or getting outdoors, starting up the workout again. Today's the day to do it. Maybe even getting out in the lawn, which brings us to Natural Lawn of America, sponsoring our 7 a.m. news, from organic fertilizer to the safer weed and insect controls. I can tell you, Natural Lawn makes sure your lawn thrives naturally season after season. Choose Natural Lawn. Get free seeding every year. 800-FREE-SEED. Call them now. 800-FREE-SEED. Thank you, Natural Lawn of America, for sponsoring our news.
All right, Dawn, thank you very much. 855-839-1210. On the other side, we go to the world of media. The latest with Joe Rogan and also Don Lemon says that men and women sexually harassed him at CNN and, in his words, tweaked his nipples.
Oh, my goodness.
Back after this on a Wednesday morning on Talk Radio 1210. WPHT.
Got to talk about my friends at Piazza Premium Automobiles, featuring the latest luxury vehicles from today's top brands. I'm talking about Mercedes-Benz, Jaguar, Land Rover, BMW, Porsche, Alfa Romeo, Maserati, and more. These models have such sleek new designs as well as innovative features, and they're powered by the very latest in technology. Right now, they have thousands of new and certified pre-owned vehicles, and they're available for you. across their Pennsylvania, Delaware, and New Jersey dealerships. Piazza Premium Automobiles always stands out. Visit them. PiazzaPremiumAutos.com, P-I-A-Z-Z-A. PiazzaPremiumAutos.com. Tell them Dawn sent you.
It's Kale and Company on demand from Talk Radio 1210 WPHT and the free Odyssey app.
Phil Omquist finding a good story courtesy of Forbes. Egg prices have dropped sharply, but there's more to the story. Just for a little bit of context here, egg prices have finally taken a turn in a direction for shoppers that they've been hoping for, which is down. After months of record highs and supply disruptions, the cost of a dozen eggs has plummeted in just a matter of days. While this might seem like welcome relief at the checkout line, the reality is more complicated. Egg prices, which hit a record high of $8.17 per dozen in early March 2025, have since dropped rapidly to $4.90 per dozen within a week, marking one of the sharpest declines in recent history. While this might signal relief for consumers, it doesn't necessarily mean that grocery shoppers will immediately see prices return to normal, and they go into the kind of wait-and-see mode that the retailers are in versus where you might find them on the cheap with the wholesalers. And Phil Omquist does some grocery work on the side, so he's apparently plugged into those dynamics, so just wanted to pass that along to everybody. All right, so let's get to a couple of notes in media, as Joe Rogan apparently is facing some adversity atop the charts. We'll get to that story and what I think it means bigger for counterculture media moving forward. But I want to get to this Don Lemon story, because I know, Dawn, you have had to deal with Don Lemon at a local level. And I believe we have this. This is clip case six. Don Lemon sitting down with Bill Maher. And he talks about how he was a victim at CNN. Let's listen and watch this.
I've been harassed by women and men in the work. And some things are not even... It's ridiculous. Now, look.
Tell us. I'm very interested.
There are some things that are...
No. I'm interested in this.
There are some things that are really egregious. Right, and that, but not everything is Harvey Weinstein level. And
no, so that's so rape.
And then some of the that's a whole different story. I'm not talking about that, and I'm not saying it makes it right. But I remember when I was in Atlanta and was in the cafeteria, commissary, whatever,
at CNN.
And this woman, young lady, tweaked my nipples and said, "Oh, it's cold in here." And I said, okay, you realize if I did that, they'd be walking me out the door right now. But I didn't care. I didn't go to HR.
So Don Lemon, to me, since his ouster at CNN, has become kind of a caricature of himself. He's kind of a laughingstock. I'm thinking back to a handful of instances. We go back to the boardwalk in Atlantic City, where he was polling people on vacation in the summer and in the early portions of the fall, right after Labor Day. Who are you going to vote for, and why are you voting Trump, or why are you voting for Kamala Harris? And remember, we played a lot of those clips, and he was really shocked to see that he ran into so many Trump supporters down at the shore. And then there was the video of him doing weird interviews with a smartphone in the subways of New York. I want to say that was in the last couple of months. It was definitely in 2025. And I have no problem with you going on Bill Maher. I have no problem with you trying to launch a show. Remember, he was going to do a show on X with Elon Musk, and that lasted it was a very short run. It was shorter than Vivek Ramaswamy's time with Doge. So this guy has now become, I think, a joke. And it's this victimhood culture. Now, maybe I'm wrong here, and I get it. I guess a guy can be sexually harassed at work. I guess a dude can be touched inappropriately or without the consent of a coworker at work. I'm not walking around during commercials going into Jimmy Kelly or Phil Omquist's studio and grabbing them by the breast and saying, "Is it a little chilly in here?" And maybe Don Lemon's correct in this. But does this seem to you, Dawn, as somebody that knows Don Lemon far better than I will ever know him, that he is trying to position himself as a victim here in his post-CNN big paycheck days? Because he's not latching on. I don't know that there's a market for Don Lemon. I really don't.
No, and this is a guy who was accused, as far as, you know, his relationships with female coworkers at CNN, he was accused, you know, this is alleged, to have a pattern of abusive and threatening behavior. That's what we've heard about him, that he had sent threatening texts to coworkers. Remember, he had made those remarks, you know, ageist, sexist remarks about Nikki Haley, that she was post-prime or past-prime, and then tried to walk that back. So this is a guy who I think is just craving attention.
Yes.
But he's done with. Nobody's going to, you know, talk about a toxic, you know, person who creates a toxic environment in the workplace. You know, he left. He was at NBC 10, if you guys remember, for years here, and that's how I knew him. But he was just, you know, he was, in my humble opinion, when I saw him out in the field, there were actions that I personally witnessed. I just thought he was a nasty, negative energy individual.
So he was always that way, even when he was not nearly as big time at CNN. So
yeah. Wasn't he Larry's intern? I'm sorry, Nick.
Oh, go ahead.
No.
Wasn't he Larry's intern?
No.
Oh.
Larry never had a... What anchor has a personal intern?
I don't know. I thought at some point you said that he worked for Larry or something.
So what year would he have been at NBC 10? Because I have no recollection. So was this 90s or was this 2000s? Because he was at CNN for, what, 17 years?
I forget. Maybe I forget when he was at NBC 10. It was like, I think he was. I know he was at CNN by 2008, so this is like 2007-ish or something.
Okay, all right.
I think. I'm not really even sure.
Okay.
But I think people here, if you lived here, you remember him. He worked for NBC 10 locally, but he was a reporter. He was not an intern.
Okay.
He was a news reporter in the newsroom.
Then he goes on to tell Bill Maher, and I have some of these quotes here. I've never told this story as well. Someone who I worked with also harassed me at CNN. First of all, I was so new there, a woman, and she knew that I was gay, and it was bizarre. She was going through a divorce. It was just weird, and I never went to management. First of all, I thought, like, okay, they may find a way to get rid of me, because if I told this story, I don't know if they're going to believe me or not. But then she was so mean to me after that, I was like, I should have told the story. We played you the clip there where he's talking about the other levels of harassment. He also said that he never reported any of the incidents to human resources, claiming there was a perceived double standard at CNN for male victims. They, quote, might have found a way to get rid of me, which I immediately say, wait a minute, male victims? How many men are on the receiving end? And I'm not saying that a man can't be on the receiving end of things that typically the stories that get reported, it's the female that's treated inappropriately and it's an HR disaster and those dudes should absolutely be fired for the way they treat females. He's making it seem like there's other men at CNN that were also subjected to this level of treatment. Who those men are, I don't know. Think of just the names off the top of your head, and you can come up with a list of probably at least five guys like Wolf Blitzer come to mind. Not saying that Wolf Blitzer was one of those individuals that was, quote, a victim. But I look at Don Lemon, and I also look at the left-wing media, and I ask myself this question. Joy Reid, Don Lemon, Chuck Todd... It could be any of these people, male, female, white, black, gay, straight. When they lose that big paycheck, whether it's Joy Reid's $3 million, Don Lemon was making well north of what Joy Reid makes. Sunny Hostin reportedly makes $8 million a year on The View, which is why she can't, quote, leave the United States and she's, quote, stuck here in Donald Trump's racist America. Where do these people get those salaries ever again? I don't think they exist. You mentioned Don Lemon having local ties and being a local news anchor. Don Lemon's never going back for whatever a local salary at NBC 10 might be for television news. I don't know if it's $250,000, $1 million, whatever it might be. He's not going to go back there with a wounded ego and as proud as he is and take that type of money. And then I see this story, and this is kind of the bigger picture here about the left-wing media. So Joe Rogan has now been dethroned not once, but in back-to-back consecutive months by a, quote, left-leaning podcast. Now, I've never heard of... Did we play one of these clips, Doctor?
We mentioned it last month.
Okay. So it's the Midas Touch podcast, which is hosted by three brothers, Ben, Brett, and Jordy Mycelis. I believe is how you say the last name. They describe their podcast on their website as, quote, a pro-democracy news network. Newsweek has the headline, Anti-Trump Podcast. nearly doubles Joe Rogan's downloads. They smoked him in the download department last month, 126 million to 65 million. Now, I don't know if this is a podcast that has sustainability and lasting power, unlike Kale and Company, 32 months strong, no fall off. Get back to me when you've done it for 6 months, 12 months, 18 months, 2 years, 2.5 years, 3 years. But I do think that this is one of those moments, and it also speaks to where MSNBC and CNN are. They have not recovered post-election. All of those fall-offs, 50% in this demographic, 44% of their primetime audience, they have not recovered. But here's a podcast dedicated to being the opposite of Joe Rogan that might be carving out its own niche. We'll see. I still think it's too early to tell. And I think it speaks volumes right now that nobody in mainstream or even non-mainstream, left-leaning to left-wing media really cuts through.
Yeah.
And I'm not a fan of Joe Rogan. I also don't think Joe Rogan is right-wing. Rogan is not necessarily a diehard Trump guy by any stretch. But it doesn't it kind of tell you where we are in the media ecosphere is that there's really not a big marketplace for mainstream left-wing views?
Yeah.
As far as ratings and revenue?
I see this a little differently. I see this as the, at least some people on the left have learned the lesson of what happened in 2024 and are embracing podcasts that or alternate form of media than they have, because you see, you mentioned it, Nick, MSNBC, CNN's ratings declining. It doesn't look like they're coming back.
No.
Rachel Maddow had, you know, even though she's on 4 days a week now or 5 days a week now, she had a huge ratings decline. So they're not coming back to that, but they seem to be flocking to alternate forms of media, which mm-hmm. I think means that at least some of them learned the lesson from 2024 and are trying to get media elsewhere.
Yes.
And which is a bad sign for MSNBC.
Correct. And you know, you look at this, I mean, Fox News is getting more Democrats to tune in and watch their network these days than CNN and MSNBC. Talk radio, like Talk Radio 1210 WPHT, is thriving today, which is really fascinating. But those are kind of the staples of the opposite of mainstream media. Fox News and talk radio have been the counter for years and years and years, multiple decades. I mean, Fox News is about 30 years old, roughly. I want to say 96-ish, 97, 95, somewhere when that launched. But I never thought, after this show launched in October of 2022, that I would be sitting here and saying, the Republican Party has utilized TikTok better than the Democrats.
Mm-hmm.
I never thought that alternate forms of media, very tech-savvy type media, where, you know, perhaps the presumption is, well, Republicans skew older. Can a Republican in his 60s or 70s figure out how to download an app and get the Spotify version of a podcast mm-hmm. or watch it at clips on X? And here they are. And you heard Dawn say this in 2022, 2023, and probably the early portion of 2024. Get it together, GOP. Get it together, Republican Party.
Okay.
They have.
Let me just say this to you.
Right?
I have, since I was a kid, because we moved around a lot, I studied television news. I studied it. I watched the news because of the accent, right? So I have been a student of especially television news broadcasting since I, radio, but especially television, since I was maybe 8, 9, 10 years old. I studied it.
Mm-hmm.
Then I got into it and worked in at a local public television station since I was 18 while in college. So I've studied this my entire life. I will say this. Number one, the reason that Fox is number one, I will tell you, is not just because of politics, is because they do it better.
It's true.
Look up at the screen.
Yep.
Look at the visual. If you want to talk about a visual medium, yep. and that's what television is, nobody does it better.
They've done it better since 1996. Yep. You're 100% right.
Look at the way everybody looks.
Yep.
When you meet all the Fox people in person, the first thing you're going to notice is, wow, they look way better on TV. That's the way it's supposed to be.
Roger Ailes, even though he was a creep, had this brilliant vision for what people wanted on TV, and he was 100% correct. And if you didn't fit that vision, you weren't on. Yep. You know what I mean? Like it wasn't like, well, you're very smart and you know the Constitution. No. You have blonde with long legs, and you know, are you a firebrand? Then you're going to be on my TV show.
Yeah.
You know, that's all it was. One more thing. I just want to say this before we break, because I see Tony Bruno in the on deck circle. Fest guy says only people like my 76-year-old mom watch legacy media. That's not true anymore.
I have teenage sons. I mean, they watch this stuff.
My parents, are not the most tech savvy people in the world. They watch YouTube. They watch us on YouTube. They're on other forms of media, not just, 3, 6, and 10, a lot of the quote-unquote boomers are.
Yeah.
So I think that has changed, where you can't really say anymore that it's the younger generation that is online and, listening to apps and stuff. Like I have most of my family who are in their 70s, listen to, because they don't get our station where they are, they listen to us on the app.
Yeah.
So that is not, and I've seen statistics too that show that there's a good portion of 65 plus that are listening on the app, watching on YouTube. Mm-hmm. So that is not true anymore, that the older people are the only ones watching legacy media.
Yeah.
I do wonder if, when we talk about demographics and sales and marketing and all of that, and my husband and I have talked about this for years now. You do wonder with the generations, because we're all basically living longer. So therefore, I wonder if we'll redefine some of those, because truthfully, a lot of people in their 30s are still living at home, especially with pandemic. So you have one generation that's delayed, that does not have money. They are broke. Then you have another that is looking younger, working longer, fit, active. And they've got the cash. They're spending.
Yep.
And many of them are well into their 70s. Will that change the demographics? I will submit to you that more people who don't take Social Security and don't retire in this DOGE environment, that's a good thing for America.
855-839-1210. If you want to jump in, Tony Bruno is going to jump in and join the chat on the other side as we head down to Florida. But first, why don't you head on over to Bucks County Estate Traders? Because the truth is, they don't make furniture like they used to. If you're tired of that cheap, mass-produced junk, let me tell you about Bucks County Estate Traders. Their massive Hatfield showroom has over 16,000 pieces of high-end furniture in their 58,000-square-foot facility with brands like Stickley and Baker, the kind of quality craftsmanship that stands the test of time, and you can save thousands compared to new retail prices. No matter your style, classic, modern, rustic, or traditional, you're going to find stunning pieces that fit today's homes. That's why they are furnishing my new home. Well, that plus, I don't know what good furniture is if it fell on my face anyway, but I do now. Bucks County Estate Traders, whether you're furnishing your living or your dining room, a home office, or what I'll be doing, furnishing a man cave, Bucks County Estate Traders, they have it all. And unlike the big box stores, if you see something you love, you can take it home the same day. And every piece has a QR code. We're talking about modernization and technology today, folks. That's right, QR code. You just pull out your phone, you snap a picture, you tap that QR code, you pull up your web browser, and boom, details displayed instantly. And their expert staff, best in the business. No pushy salespeople. They're straight shooters, and they know their stuff. And here's a pro tip. You can check out their website and call ahead. They'll have the pieces that you want ready to show you that day and that time. Visit BucksCountyEstateTraders.com or stop by their showroom today in Hatfield.
This is the Kale and Company podcast from Talk Radio 1210 WPHD and on the free Odyssey app.
Good morning, Tony Bruno.
Hello, sir. How are you?
Good morning, guys. That's okay. I was almost blocked by a federal judge from appearing on the show today. So, I got you beat, I think.
Well, I was told that the federal judge in D.C. actually sent the NASA astronauts back to space. They're not allowed to come back down.
Exactly, yes.
Yes.
And by the way, I think the federal judge in South Philadelphia has just summoned the dolphins around the shuttle, not the shuttle,
the pod.
The pod.
Yeah.
The dragon.
They have now been summoned to the prisons in El Salvador. That's what's going on.
Well, if I'm ever late for a returner from break, Stalker's going to send me to El Salvador.
It's amazing.
Again.
Amazing.
My bad. All right, let's get down to business.
Yeah, come on. Let's do this.
Let's get it down to the business, yo. Yes. What up, Wednesday? What up, yo? What up?
The Cut Sheet! What's on the Cut Sheet on this Wednesday? Sponsored by Meineke. When you step on your brakes, you hear a squeal or a grinding noise, don't wait. Take your car to your locally owned and operated Meineke. And their expert technicians will diagnose the problem, find a location near you at Meineke.com. That's Meineke.com. Thank you, Meineke, for sponsoring the ever-important Wednesday edition, the Tony Bruno What Up Wednesday edition of What's on the Cut Sheet. My favorite edition. Don't worry.
It's a tradition unlike any other, let's be honest.
It really is. It really
not is. Until the Masters, which is a couple of weeks away, I guess.
That's right? Correct.
The tradition.
Yes.
Tony, we spent a lot of the end of the 6 o'clock hour discussing the JFK files that weren't. I've made the claim, nobody else wants to believe me, that all of this has been released already. Just a bunch of names that may have been redacted in the first go-around or the second go-around were unredacted now, but there was no big smoking gun on this.
But that's not what they
But did you read, like, how many, aren't there like 5,000 pages? Who had time to
80,000.
Read
80,000. I sat up all 80, night.
80,000 pages.
I sat up all night, Tony Bruno, and I read everything. I read all the different pages.
Did they release all 80,000 yet?
Yes, I believe they did. I believe they did.
I don't know what to believe anymore.
The reason I'm bringing this up is because our boy Harry Enten, he did a survey, and apparently the thought process has changed on the JFK conspiracy theory between Democrats and Republicans. This used to be a big Democrat talking point, mm-hmm. you know, because they love JFK.
Yeah.
Everybody's like the CIA, the government. You know, there's 900 shooters. It was the mafia. It was this. Apparently, that's flipped now.
Okay,
and it's the Republicans that believe that. Roll this.
Look, I'll tell you something you don't know, Aaron Burnett, and it is basically this: the percentage of conspiracy theorists who believe that the United States government was involved in the JFK assassination has gone up over the past 10 years. It is now the plurality leader compared to the conspiracy theorists. They used to think it was someone, hey, maybe it was Cuba, maybe it was the mob. That's actually down from 40% to 29%. And the overall number of folks who believe in the conspiracy theory that JFK was killed by more than one man is also up.
So in this thing of we are in this odd conspiracy-fueled moment, I guess that fits, right?
There are more people believe it.
All right, Trump himself has talked about conspiracies about this death, including one linking Oswald famously to Ted Cruz's father.
Okay. I remember that one.
Yeah. I forgot about that.
His father was with Lee Harvey Oswald prior to Oswald's being... shot. I mean, the whole thing is ridiculous. I mean, what was he doing with Lee Harvey Oswald shortly before the death, before the shooting? It's horrible.
Okay, that theory, I just want to note, mm-hmm. was based on a National Enquirer story that the former publisher testified during Trump's trial.
Oh, that's Pecker. It's his buddy Pecker.
I love David.
But Trump is not just speaking for himself.
No, he's not. I feel like Regis Philbin. It's all bonkers things that are going on. Look, the percentage of Republicans who believe in the conspiracy theory that JFK was killed by more than one man is up significantly over the last decade. Look at that. From 49% to now with a clear majority, 71%, while Democrats have fallen from 64% to 55%. And that is because the Donald Trump base, right, the non-college graduates, they are the most likely to believe in the conspiracy theory, right? 73% of them compared to just 57% of those who just have a college degree and 44% postgraduate degree.
And this isn't the there are more conspiracy theories, as we were talking about. People believe them.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, look, we mentioned the JFK one, but how about Obama not born in the U.S., a quarter of Americans? How about vaccines cause autism? That's up. That's nearly a quarter of Americans. And then you get 10% of Americans who believe the Earth is flat.
10% believe the Earth is flat.
Well, that right there proves the educational system is just
failed. Well, there's so
I
much.
Love how it's, I love how it's the Trump non-educated white guys who are the ones who believe this stuff.
Yeah, Arlen
Specter. If Arlen Specter is rolling over in his grave now, for those of you too young to remember.
Yep.
Our great late great Senator Arlen Specter was part of that Warren Commission during the JFK assassination, the rigmarole that went on for year after year, decade after decade.
Yeah.
And who thought that there would be some that's the why this thing wasn't the fact that it wasn't released is an even bigger outrage than the fact that there's 50,000 pages which still don't tell you anything. That's how long this nonsense has been going on. So people are going to rip Trump because he had a nothing burger. He at least released the stinking files to let people decide for themselves.
Yeah. I don't believe that there was multiple shooters. I know that was the headline on the graphic that they were talking about. I do believe it was just one shooter, but I do believe the CIA has their hands all over this from a complicity standpoint. I also find it interesting because there's many layers to what she was just talking about there with Harry Enten. I love how these people label it conspiracy theorists. I look at it from the other vantage point of, so you just believe everything that the mainstream media tells you. You just believe whatever the government arrives at conclusion wise with an investigation, that's it, that you should just keep it moving and not question anything. I think we call those people sheep, correct?
Tony's right, though, the basis of that whole clip we played is that the non-educated white guy are more prone to believe in conspiracy theories, because if you didn't go to Harvard or any of the college classes and schools, then you are you're somehow lesser,
there, though, there was 56% of college graduates believe it, and 44% with a postgraduate degree. So that's master's or a doctoral degree.
In my lifetime, I have come across more people in every walk of life that I've been through in my life. I have come across more people that believed that there was some sort of cover-up conspiracy in the JFK thing than didn't.
Yeah.
So
it's funny you mentioned with JFK and Trump here. Am I out of line by saying,
yes
I usually am, that if JFK was alive today, he'd be a Republican? Based on today's Republican Party?
It's really cool.
Absolutely.
Yeah, if you play the old, if you play even some of his, you know, different videos of when he was president, his speeches, you look at that and you go, oh my goodness.
Yeah. I mean,
so
honestly,
conservative.
You think Bobby Kennedy jumped ship and became a Republican? Could you imagine if JFK was still alive today? It wouldn't even be close. There's no doubt about it.
So remember,
fat looking children.
Remember, guys.
Yes.
His most iconic speech is, ask not what your country can do for you, ask what you can do for your country. Mm-hmm. That would be far right. He would be a conspiracy theorist, a far right lunatic right now. When you play that speech, you listen to JFK's ask not speech, he would be considered far right, right of Attila the Hun. That's what they would call him.
Let's see here. Trump was on with Laura Ingraham last night for a sit-down interview. Let's start with Cut 16 here. He labeled, or the people who have attacked Tesla dealers are now, I guess, domestic terrorists. Mm-hmm. She asked him about that. This is Cut 16, I guess. Go.
In what you've seen so far, do you consider what's happening an act of domestic political terrorism against one of your allies?
So Elon is a patriot. And again, I hardly knew Elon until the, you know, election. And he turned out that he liked me better than he liked these radical lunatics that we were running, better than Kamala, better than Joe, you know, because he's an intelligent person. He liked, and he backed me, and he went. And he got very much involved. He thought he actually would go around saying, if Trump doesn't win, our country is over.
But do you consider this an act of domestic terrorism?
I think so.
Why?
I think that if and when they catch the people, and I hope they do, the good thing is they have a lot of cameras in those places, and they've caught some already having to do with that. I think that you will find out that they're paid by people that are very highly political on the left.
Meanwhile, it's because of Elon Musk. Everything he did with...
There you go.
I'm gonna defend Trump here with the domestic terrorism claims. Here's the definition from Webster's on domestic terrorism. Involves acts of violence or the threat of violence, often with the intent to intimidate or coerce a civilian population, influence government policy, or affect government conduct, all occurring primarily within the territorial jurisdiction of the United States. I mean, when you torch Teslas, I mean, what message are you sending? I saw the video yesterday, and I'm almost certain this is correct. The Las Vegas Review-Journal, which is a very legit publication, had a video yesterday of Teslas that looked like they were a bonfire for a football game.
Yeah, it's terrible.
I mean, it's awful. I mean, all because yeah, and there's Elon a guy Musk actually, switched sides.
There's a guy on video in the parking lot in setting fire to each individual Tesla using a gun to shoot it. Then he firebombs it, leaves a Molotov cocktail there, walks down and does it to another car, a couple of cars down. But the best part is the media to saying that, you know, these are peaceful protests. Just the same thing as that, you know, yeah. Fiery, but mostly peaceful. This is terrorism.
That's what we saw here in Philadelphia.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, I think people just hear the word terrorism and automatically assume somebody of Middle Eastern descent, killing people, exactly. Beheading people, flying planes into buildings. Domestic terrorism, I mean, what's the point of terrorizing somebody? You're trying to scare them.
Let me ask you guys a question. Play devil's advocate. What do you guys think about hate speech?
I don't like it, but it's protected, under free speech.
Speech is not burning down any businesses. Mm-hmm. You know, hate speech is protected speech. You can hate Elon Musk all you want. You can even go on his site, Twitter, and hate and not get banned anymore.
Well, the perfect.
You know, I got banned for tweeting "All Lives Matter," for God's sake.
Yeah, I mean the example we had here. What was it in Bluebell? Or where was that story, Dawn, that you had with the guy was waving the... He had the Nazi flag in Schwanksville.
The latest one.
He had the Nazi flag on his house. The media showed up.
That was Bluebell. But
or was that
latest,
Bluebell?
Yeah. The latest one was in Schwanksville, yeah.
Yeah. And now that's hate speech. Yeah. But unfortunately, you have to take the good with the bad if you're a free speech absolutist. The line where you draw is where we've seen at these Ivy League schools when the threat of violence is imminent.
Now,
that is not protected.
I'm not talking about it like that. What I'm talking about is that I've heard for years that there should be no such thing as hate crimes because a crime in itself has hate involved, and there's a different statute for a hate crime.
True.
So what I'm saying is that to be consistent. I mean, yes, what's happening to these Tesla dealerships is egregious and is against the law. These people need to be prosecuted. But the term domestic terrorism.
So you think this is a form of protest, simply?
No.
Okay.
No. They're burning down.
Right.
They're burning buildings. I 100% agree that these people need to be prosecuted. All I'm saying is that. The hate crimes with the Jesse Smollett thing that turned out to be like
the hoax.
Prosecute that like a hate crime. People were against that because it's a crime's a crime.
I get what you're saying. So let's ask the question then: what's the end goal of somebody nuking a bunch of Teslas? I think the goal is to put the fear of God in them that they should give away their Tesla or sell it or no longer be a Tesla owner, or you run the risk of having your property destroyed. You're instilling the fear of I might not be safe driving my Tesla to the grocery store because somebody doesn't agree with my views that he. And by the way, I feel bad for the people that just have Teslas that aren't political, right? Like that are not driving them for political statements, whether it's, the climate or that they love Elon being a MAGA guy. They were like, oh, it's a cool looking car. I'm going to get one, right? It's the new shiny object. I feel bad for those people that are like, hey, I don't have a skin in the game either way. You know, don't target my property.
We see a lot. The one thing about Florida that's good, other than the weather being 80 degrees every day and just glorious, no keyed or torched Teslas down here.
Nice.
And no swatting so far. So we're safe down here. Now, nobody swatted me, and I'm glad because the only swatting I do is of those little nasty flies that come out in the spring. You know, there's no-see-ems, they call them. They're so small you can't see them.
Right.
So they call them no-see-ems.
Right.
That's good science knowledge
right there. That is.
But the amazing thing here is the biggest criminals now in Florida are in Fort Myers. It's the city council of Fort Myers declaring that Fort Myers is no longer is now a sanctuary city. And three of the city council members and obviously Dawn knows very well working at Fort Myers down here in Southwest Florida. You think it's a far red right leaning area. But the three of the six city council people in Fort Myers, Florida, have said that they will not allow their police department, to go after any criminals who may be hiding out here in South. Now, I'm talking about criminal illegals, not just some guy working mowing a lawn somewhere.
Mm-hmm.
I'm talking about the hardcore criminals. And now the attorney general is filing a lawsuit against the city council of Fort Myers. Mm-hmm. So this mind virus of people not wanting people arrested who are illegally and criminally in the country, and a combination of the two, don't want those people arrested or even approached. Yet people are getting swatted by calling their local police station and saying that somebody is doing something wrong in a house because you disagree with what they post on social media. Jeez. That's how crazy everything has gotten.
And Governor DeSantis just sent the Fort Myers Council a warning about, you know, their the way they're voting and even their vote that they want to block ICE.
And here I thought Florida was where...
Florida is where woke goes to die.
Apparently not.
Damn right.
Elon Musk was on Hannity. Because now it's just a rotating cast of Elon and Trump.
So Trump was on with Laura, and then Elon was on with Hannity. Who got in more words with the host?
State-run media. Elon Musk speaks out on the increasing number of terrorist acts against Tesla dealerships. Roll it.
Why do I see people like I woke up this morning and saw that Teslas were put ablaze in one of your dealerships in Vegas? I've seen this happen all over the country. Bullets are being fired. Charging stations are put ablaze. Teslas are being put ablaze. You have experienced assassination, threats of assassination for you and your family. What have you done that warrants this? Because I see nothing that you have done except help our country.
Yeah, I mean, it's really come as quite a shock to me that there is this level of really hatred and violence from the left. I thought the left, you know, Democrats were supposed to be the party of empathy, the party of caring, and yet they're burning down cars, they're firebombing dealerships, they're firing bullets into dealerships, they're just, you know, smashing up Teslas. Tesla is a peaceful company. We've never done anything harmful. I've never done anything harmful. I've only done productive things. So I think we just have a deranged... there's some kind of mental illness thing going on here, because this doesn't make any sense.
Yeah.
And I think there are larger forces at work as well. I mean, I don't know who's funding it and who's coordinating it, because this is crazy. I've never seen anything like this.
You know, it's interesting. Years ago, he was the champion of the left. Elon Musk stood for humanity, and he was going to revolutionize technology and science for the greater good of mankind. And then all of a sudden, he says, y'all are kind of crazy. I'm going to go over to this side. And now he's getting firebombed, which, by the way, it doesn't work. I mean, it only illustrates the hypocrisy of the left with tolerance and inclusivity and diversity and equity. Where did all those mantras and those buzzwords that were shoved down our throats for five stinking years go? Now, all of a sudden, it's, I don't like what you stand for, so I'm going to obliterate your property, which you can continue to do that. You just show that the Republicans are the party of common sense right now. But more importantly, Tony and Dawn, they don't have any counter. There's nothing they can run with right now to defeat Republicans. I would say this, and this is a little tongue-in-cheek, but I would argue every 50-50 coin flip political race that's coming up in the midterms, unless Republicans are trotting out some slapdick that is awful, unless we're trotting out like a Mehmet Oz that's got no chance of winning anything, unless that's the case, every coin flip Republicans, or not everyone, because it's not 100%, a majority of the coin flips for the seats that are going to be available in the Senate and things like that are going to go Republican, because the Democrats have nothing to cut through. It's all noise. It's all hysteria. There's no substance to it. And that's where they're at right now.
Yeah,
I know, listen, the whole thing about are the Democrats ever coming back? Who cares about that right now? They care, but they're doing everything in their power. Tim Walz is running out there, you know, happy that Tesla stock is going down. This is a guy who just got slaughtered in an election. And he goes on Gavin Newsom. So all of this nonsense right now. By the way, here's a bigger story that people aren't talking about when everybody's talking about which party has more power. How about the fact that the FBI's most wanted, three of the FBI's most wanted suspects have been caught since Trump has been in office in less than 3 months, and zero have been caught in the last 4 years under Joe Biden? So don't tell me that when you change things, things don't change. I mean, here we are with a brand new FBI director, assistant FBI directors, CIA people going in, and the leaders are now doing what they're supposed to do. When you're on the FBI most wanted list, it's not just the poster you see in the post office and they never get caught. Three of them have been caught already in the last 50 days. So tell me that changed. That's the line that Trump used, you know. Well, what changed about the border? The president changed. That's what changed. Yeah. There are almost zero people getting over the border illegally now. Tell me that's not change and change being affected. That's all people care about. All this nonsense and minutia about who's more popular and who's going to be the savior of the Democratic Party. Nobody cares except the Democrats, and even they're too triggered. They're hating on each other. Let them hate on each other. Let the Democrats hate on each other. To me, we worry about our egg prices. Gas prices are going down. And we just want to live every day without worrying about nonsense and which political party has more power. That's how I live my life.
We will get to who's going to run the Democrat Party in a couple minutes, because there's a new poll out, Tony. I don't know if you saw this, and who CNN thinks should run the Democrat Party.
Tony loves a good poll.
Absolutely. The one at Club Risque is heavily used by Harry Mays and I back in the day. Yes.
You guys put that poll out the pasture.
YouTube.com/at1210WPHT. YouTube.com/at1210WPHT. Please hit the like and subscribe buttons while you're there. Also hit the little bell so it can alert you when we go live. You can see all these videos along with us. Please, 121 likes, and there's like close to 600 people watching. Like,
come on.
Like, yeah. Do you not like the show? Come on.
You do.
Hit the like button.
By the way, the Hannity thing, there's a hysterical moment in that.
Is there?
Where there is. Where Hannity misspeaks and says how fast his new Tesla goes in 0.02.
Yeah.
And Elon laughs out loud and he goes, you know how he laughs? And he goes, you'd be dead if it couldn't go that fast. And then Hannity kind of, I think, doesn't like that he laughed, that he misspoke, and kind of like, talks over him and like ends the interview. It's just sort of
wow.
Right. Hannity's a horrible interviewer, by the way. That was a terrible job by him. Like, I was trying to watch that because I wanted to hear Elon Musk, you know, after the spaceship was recovered. I wanted to hear it, and I turned it on, and I'm like, the guy just can't ask a question. He's got to tell his whole life history about he bought a Tesla. Big deal.
It's always about him.
You're a multimillionaire. You bought a new Tesla.
Yep.
Congratulations, Sean.
Sean Hannity, weekday afternoons from 3 to 6 on Talk Radio. Oh, no more.
But you're right. I mean, he has Elon Musk there who's outside the White House, right? And you're exactly right. He just, like, goes on.
Standing on the North Lawn at 9:30 at night, and he's asking him two-minute questions.
Yeah.
Well, that's what you get from a high school graduate.
Oh, that's not right. Look at you.
Hannity didn't go to college.
Look at you.
But then again, college doesn't really matter. I still haven't figured out run versus ran.
It's true.
No, I mean, I agree with Tony. I was reviewing it this morning.
Or come versus came.
Yes. That's why I use a different word.
I was reviewing it this morning. I'm like, why didn't he, to Tony's point, why didn't you let him just talk? He's a really interesting.
Exactly.
You know?
Hey, just real quick before we do continue the cuts, because Tony, you mentioned gas prices. I just want to give the three states for our audience. This is according to AAA a day ago. So let's start with Pennsylvania. The record price for gas in Pennsylvania actually was June 12th of 2022. So that was right in the middle of the Biden administration, $5.07 a gallon. A year ago today, $3.58 per gallon. Today, $3.21 per gallon. So we're down 37 cents a gallon from a year ago. For New Jersey and our New Jersey listeners out there, let's see here. The record was $5.06 back on June 13th. It came down last year, $3.25. It's now $2.91 in Jersey. And for some of the select few in Delaware, let me just give you Mike Opelka country, because I know we have listeners in Delaware. The record was $4.99 in June of 2022. A year ago, $3.29. Today, $2.87 a gallon. So there you go. About 30-some cents per gallon from a year ago today.
This is these two cuts I pulled for one of our listeners, Fulton Jack. He emailed in, and we do take requests. So if you want requests, you can email me.
Hey, on a serious note,
all requests Wednesday.
You're already taking requests for the right donation for the playlist
yes.
with Travis Manion.
Yes.
Yep.
We should sell the cut sheet for the donations as well. Let somebody concoct a cut sheet.
Oh, God.
You think that's easy, folks?
Oh, God.
You think that's easy? Stalker Phil and I, we send emails all day long with clips that we find.
And I use most of them, don't I?
Yes.
So.
Yeah. Not any, but that's not something that's put together in 5 minutes.
Do I want to give up power like that to this? I don't know.
Give up the power.
I edit this right before we go on the air.
Right.
You know what I mean? So.
$25,000 will give you to relinquish power?
Let me think about it.
Mm.
If somebody in the YouTube chat wants to pony up a hefty amount, I will. Should we? All right. How about this?
Let them find the clips and then intro them on the air.
I was just going to say that. How about this? How about they find the clips and they can take over my job for a day?
Yep. You can just sit in there and oversee.
I like this. Okay. Who, right now on the YouTube chat, just a quick gut check, how much would you donate to do this?
And do I get 10% finder's fee?
You would have to come in to do this, by the way.
I want my VIG.
To come in person.
Yes, come in person.
Right.
You can sit in there. You can be the fourth box. I'll play the clip. I'll play the clips. I won't even comment on them. It'll just be person X and Nick and Dawn. And maybe if it's a Wednesday, it'll be Tony Bruno.
That's right.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right. I'll mull this over. Mark Kelly, Fulton Jack wanted me to play this. Mark Kelly made a big showing.
Oh yeah.
Moron.
Earlier this week,
he and his brother are both dope.
Senator Frist.
Both astronauts, but both morons.
Senator from Arizona.
I need Jimmy to pull that.
He made a big showing that he drove in his Tesla to Washington, D.C., but it will be the last time that he's going to do this. Let's play the first clip here, Phil.
Hey, folks, Mark Kelly here in Washington, driving to work for the last time in my Tesla. When I bought this thing, I didn't think it was going to become a political issue. Every time I get in this car in the last 60 days or so, it reminds me of just how much damage Elon Musk and Donald Trump is doing to our country. Talking about slashing Social Security, cutting health care benefits for poor people, for seniors. It's one bad thing after the next. He's firing veterans. I'm a veteran. So I have a really hard time driving around in this thing. So I think it's time for an upgrade today. So this is going to be my last trip in this car. There are some things I really liked about it. There are things I didn't like about it. But that doesn't matter. What matters is, doing the right thing.
Yeah.
Well, Mark, it only became a political issue because of your radical constituents. And actually, it's also a political issue because of your party with their obsession with EV mandates and climate change. Elon Musk didn't do anything politically to the Tesla to make it unworthy of you driving it around. You know what's amazing is he obviously liked Tesla. There was something about it that he says, I love this vehicle. I want to buy it. It's the same thing like with me with the NBA. I didn't stop watching the NBA because they became political activists. I stopped watching it because the product sucks, not because of the political messaging. The political messaging
exactly.
doesn't help, but the league is terrible. So I like Bruce Springsteen's music. I don't stop listening to, I didn't delete Bruce off of my Spotify playlist because he is a left-wing maniac now. I would never allow something that I love, content consumption product-wise, to all of a sudden that became politicized where I would ditch it. That's why I call out some people in this audience that say they don't watch the NFL anymore from 8 years ago from Kaepernick. So if you really love the NFL, you're going to continue to watch it. So I'm calling Mark Kelly out. As Tony Bruno said, moron. And watch your mouth, sir.
Yes. I don't think you can say that.
Yes, he did. He said it twice.
I dumped it, sir. I dumped it.
We forgot to censor it.
You can dump that, too.
I did.
I mean, the movie Spaceballs. Remember?
I know. I don't know. You don't have to say it again.
Helmet. Yeah. I'm surrounded by it.
Yes. Thank you. Thank you.
Who I think you can say that now. That's an actual scientific term.
So anybody who's not watching on YouTube or listening on the Odyssey app, and thankfully there are tons of people doing that.
It's only Wednesday.
Didn't hear any of that commentary.
Yeah, I mean, forget Spaceballs, folks. I prefer
Big
Balls
or Harry Balls.
Exactly.
For the people listening on 1210 WPHT, Mark Kelly said that he's giving up his Tesla. What is he giving it up for, you ask? What is he giving it up for?
Lent.
Yes.
Roll this.
All right, here I am with my new ride, Chevy, good old Chevy Tahoe. Here in Washington, D.C.
Yes,
got one of these in Tucson as well. This one was made by Union Labor, United Auto Workers in Arlington, Texas. Always good to buy Union cars. Incredibly reliable.
Yeah.
And I'm looking forward to driving this for many, many years.
As Dawn said.
Believe me, you will guzzle.
That Chevy Tahoe is going to guzzle you up for $92 a fill-up.
Oh, my God.
Yeah.
Exactly.
I don't know. That's kind of interesting. So now he's got an American brand SUV. Mm-hmm. He's wearing a Navy hat with camouflage.
Yep.
I don't know. I thought, isn't that the look of MAGA Republicans that don't go to college, Mark?
Yeah.
Oh. By the way, I have nothing against Chevy Tahoes. I think they're great cars. I'm just saying that it's a little hypocritical for the people that wanted to save the planet and save the environment with a Tesla, now buying a quote-unquote gas-guzzling SUV, right?
It's just amazing how dumb they look. Every time they try to counter anything from Trump and Musk, they look even worse.
So true. Amazing.
Just stop talking.
Yeah.
Come up with a policy that somebody likes. Not 9% of citizens.
Dope. 13 here, Phil. So you played a little bit of this in the big take this morning, Nick. Gavin Newsom on his podcast. By the way, who's his podcast for?
That's a great question.
Because
I don't know.
Because I feel like when you're like the liberals that like him hate this podcast. I don't know if you've seen the reviews for this podcast, but it's not, they're not super positive.
So it's just like Michelle Obama and her brother's podcast.
Exactly. Yeah. So like, I understand you wanting to bring on people that you may or may not disagree with and, you know, have conversations with them. I'm all for that. I think there needs to be more of that. I think it's a great concept.
Well, it's pretty fascinating that everybody has left mainstream media from a consumption standpoint because they don't want to hear from people like Gavin Newsom or Michelle Obama. So you once again talk about not reading the room correctly. If nobody wants to see you on legacy media, you think they're going to search you out for a podcast?
That's a good point. So Gavin Newsom tries to kind of school Tim Walz on MAGA because Tim Walz goes down the hole. Like, how can you compromise with misogynists and racists and all that stuff?
Yeah.
Roll this.
Yeah. I can't message to misogynists. I can't message that women shouldn't have.
But I think if we say people are misogynists, then we're falling prey. We're in that frame. Not everybody that disagrees with us is a misogynist.
Well,
I think this notion of toxicity and masculinity needs to be separated. And I think it's been conflated. And I think we're going to have to work on that a little bit. And I think there is a crisis.
I think some of us scare them. I think I scare them a little bit why they spend this in people's grill.
Really,
I don't know. My identity is not hunting. My identity is not football coaching. My identity is not, you know, a beard and a truck. I like all those things. But how did we get to this where have they figured it out that the identity piece of this is more important than the actual substance?
Oh, see, actually, it's really not, sir.
Yeah.
It's funny. You're talking about, so you're saying the right has an obsession with identity?
Yeah.
I don't see MAGA Republicans going on TikTok referring to themselves as he/him or dyeing their hair and talking about their beards or the fact that they have a shaved head or that they wear camouflage when they go. Like, the left is the one obsessed with the identity. And, Tony, this is the thing. You want to talk about trying to get common sense men to come back to your party? How about you just stop calling every person that you disagree with that's a man, a misogynist, and a racist?
And this is a clown, by the way, who just got whooped a couple of months ago in an election. And what does he do? He goes to Wisconsin. He goes to Iowa and has a town hall with the people of... What's he running for president of Iowa now? He's got enough problems in Minnesota.
Yep.
And this guy's going to do town halls, you know, with people who like him in Iowa? It's just ridiculous. The guy just lost. Meanwhile, you got our governor, your governor, my governor, part of my governor, not my governor down here, the one that's still in Philadelphia, Pennsylvania, Josh Shapiro, who's trying to outdo at least Shapiro when he tweets every day with nonsense, self-serving, I did this, I'm saving that. At least he's still trying to run for president in 2028 by telling everybody how great he is. Meanwhile, Gavin Newsom's trying to tell everybody how not great he is, that he's not as bad as the rest of his party. And so that's what you have going on right now. AOC can't figure it out. The Democrats don't know who they are. That's the problem. They don't know. And obviously, Tim Walz learned nothing from getting absolutely trounced as the vice presidential candidate to help bring down Kamala Harris. He is as much of the reason, and his creepy wife with the let's turn the page.
Those creeps
basically killed their own campaign, and now they're trying to blame everybody else. Let's turn the page.
Yeah, Tony, I've got to turn the pages right now, actually.
I love when Tony calls somebody a creep. He's amazing.
He's a creep. He's
a creep coward,
He's a man after my own heart. That's right. By the way, if you're listening on 12, if you're listening on 1210 WPHT, the last 15 minutes may not have made a ton of sense to you. That's why you should go on the Audacy app, download the Audacy app, A-U-D-A-C-Y. It's all free, and listen to 1210 WPHT there, or watch us on YouTube, youtube.com/at1210WPHD, because it's all uncensored there.
Yes.
Here we had to, we may have been.
We got to get the FCC. I need to get the FCC commissioner on the show tomorrow morning
to
explain that we can play. When somebody is making a statement and they say something that is or not, it's not even one of the seven deadly words. So how is balls okay, but the other part, the real part of the body, not acceptable?
Agreed.
I mean, come on, man. It's 2025.
I know. Agree. We're trying to compete with podcasts, with everything else. We're not competing with the other local morning shows. We're competing with everybody, and we need to have a step up. And if we're not able to compete with that and, you know, let an occasional dirty word go, how are we going to compete?
I agree. I'm ready to flee the country. I can't take Trump's America anymore. I'm moving to Ireland.
YouTube.com/at1210WPHD. Get on over there and hit the subscribe and like button right now.
8 o'clock hour brought to you by Wawa. Get the meal deal that you really want. Wawa's $5 big breakfast deal gets you any sizzly breakfast sandwich, any size hot or iced coffee, and a hash brown for just $5. Mornings made easy because you gotta have a Wawa. More of the cut sheet with Tony Bruno from Florida on the other side. But first, a word from our friends as I turn the page from Wawa to Natural Lawn of America. Because when you're choosing a lawn care service, it makes sense to hire a company that provides better results, but also that is safer for your family and your pets. That's why I chose Natural Lawn of America, my lawn care company. At Natural Lawn, they believe in growing greener, healthier lawns without the harsh chemicals. They use environmentally friendly products to keep your lawn lush and green while protecting the safety of your family and your pets. From organic fertilizers to safer weed and insect controls, they make sure that your lawn thrives naturally season after season. But don't just take our word for it. Join the growing number of homeowners switching to Natural Lawn safer services and start enjoying that beautiful, eco-friendly lawn that you can be proud of. Schedule Natural Lawn's full service program today. And if you do, you get free seeding every single year. Call Natural Lawn at 800-FREE-SEED. That's 800-FREE-SEED. Greener grass, fewer weeds, guaranteed.
It's Kale and Company on demand. From Talk Radio 1210 WPHD and the free Odyssey app.
Astronauts, they have rules about how long they can be up there with zero gravity for a reason. This is detrimental to their bone density, to their emotional health, but their physical health, their organs, you know, their spine, their spinal cord. I mean, this is dangerous for their health to be up there this long. If they could have come home, they would have come home. They couldn't.
I don't know what the political endgame would be if they were making it political to say that Biden left. Biden's been defeated since November, so you could have came home November 6th if you were making it political.
Well, it's political. It's political because Elon Musk, I mean, that was one thing that he was able to say during the Hannity interview,
right?
Because Hannity did ask him that, was that Elon Musk stated again last night that SpaceX offered to go get them. And under the Biden administration, they said, no, thank you. They said no. They turned them down.
All right, well, let's roll the clip, and then we can discuss this after. Roll it.
mental side to it, too.
Hague, Butch Wilmore. Hey,
Rick, before I talk about that, let me say something. I was watching the previous your previous program, The Five, and they're talking about abandoned and that they were stranded by President Biden. That is not true. They have had a spacecraft up there since September that was going to bring them home. They've always had a ride home, and the decision to keep them up there had nothing to do with politics. It was just the fact that you need crew members to operate the space station, and they were the two that were there, and you had to send up a vehicle with two empty seats, so the safest thing to do was to just leave them there. But they weren't stranded. They always had a ride home. Now,
so you're telling me they did all these media appearances on television talking about how they've been left up there and that they're waiting to come back home, and it was all a stunt, is what you're saying?
It makes no sense.
If you have the ability and you're saying you want to go and you don't go, then that doesn't add up to me.
All right, then let me ask you guys a question, because this is a serious question. Why, like, in Biden's addled pudding brain, why would he leave them up there? It just makes no sense politically.
Probably forgot they were up there to begin with.
But somebody around him should have said, hey, you know what I mean? Like, they're up here. It just makes no sense to me, logically.
What makes sense, Greg, and this is, okay, think about this.
Yeah.
This is the same administration that allowed, a minimum, but let's say an estimated 20-plus million people to just unvetted come into this country, a minimum of 11 million, but an estimated 22 million, whatever, to just come into the country, rapists, murderers, you know, other countries let out their killers to come out of their prisons to this guy. So we were all just the collateral damage.
Well,
right?
This is also the same administration.
Let me finish my point.
Yeah, yeah.
My point is this. It's the same administration that put us in peril for what? Because we were just collateral damage to their political party and adding voters. It's the same thing if you think about it. They didn't care about these astronauts who were up there nearly 10 months.
The same administration that left an American journalist in a Russian jail cell but rushed to bring home a lesbian basketball player. Right?
Exactly.
Everything they did was political. Everything they did was to thumb their nose against the majority of Americans to appease fringe communities. This is also the same administration that botched the Afghanistan withdrawal in 2021. I'm not sure that this administration could tie their shoes simultaneously while chewing bubblegum. Yet, so, I mean, I don't and if Elon Musk came out, and I don't recall the timeline, Dawn, but you mentioned this, so I'll just bring it up. If Elon Musk offered back in, did you say September to bring these
yes.
people home? Well, what's happening in September? We're 60 some days away from an election. Elon Musk has aligned himself with Donald Trump. Do you think if you're a Democrat and you're in that Harris-Biden coalition, you want Trump's new little right-hand man to bring home astronauts and give them political points? Probably not. Cold and calculated, but you probably don't want that, I would think.
So Scott Kelly is lying?
He's being a political
yes.
hack.
Yes, he is.
He's lying. Okay.
Boeing had
just asking.
The issue is they were trying to resolve the mechanical problem that Boeing had. That's why they couldn't bring him home. So they were stuck
right.
and they were trying to figure this out. But at the end of the day, nobody really was talking about the fact that these individuals, these astronauts were up there for this was dangerous to their health. This was a threat to their
Correct.
Actual physical health.
Well, here's what Sean Hannity or Laura Ingraham should do. They should say, hey, Bob, my producer, let's skip interviewing Trump and Elon Musk for the 12,000th time. And let's interview the chick with the hair that's sticking up and the dude on the space shuttle and ask them the question on live television. Were you offered a ride home prior to your rescue?
Nick, they might not have been told.
Okay, well then find somebody that does know the answer. And these are simple questions that we could get answers to if we had a media that actually just asked basic questions.
Well, they did ask him.
By the way, Nick,
they
were
grateful,
yeah.
you guys. They said, thank you, President
yeah.
Trump. Thank you, Elon Musk. Thank you for bringing
us home. Okay, so that wasn't yesterday, Dawn. They were interviewed a week ago. They were interviewed a week ago from space.
They were interviewed a week ago, but they were saying from space, Tony, they were saying thank you because they knew who
they
were stuck.
No, my point is that clip that they ran, that clip of the two astronauts and one astronaut in the middle, the two stranded ones, they were the ones who were interviewed from space, and they thanked Elon Musk and President Trump for helping bring them home. But unfortunately, a lot of the media are running that as if it happened yesterday. That didn't happen yesterday because they were immediately taken to a hospital after they recovered this capsule, after they got them out of the shuttle, of the pod, and they bring them to a hospital for medical examinations. So once they are cleared, and they're able to walk. But you remember, they were exercising. That woman, Sunny, she was doing marathons in space because she knew the danger. She ran marathons in space just to help for her bone density and all the things we talk about, because you're not supposed to be in space for 9 months.
Yeah.
And so if Joe Biden could have brought them home in September, when, by the way, the two astronauts who returned with them, that's when they went up in September. The Russian guy and the other American who returned in the capsule, the four, they were up there from September, and their mission was completed on this. That's why they went up with two people and left the two seats empty. Anybody who's saying otherwise doesn't know what they're talking about.
I just want to know if the question
Joe Biden stranded those people up there. That is the absolute fact.
I just want to know if they were asked by anybody in the media, did you have the ability to come home? And it's a yes or no question.
Agreed.
I mean, that's all. That's as simple as that. Were you offered the chance, or did you have the capability, or were you really left there and you needed whatever went up to get you to bring you back? Then we have our answer.
Well, okay, a couple of things. So earlier this morning, you know, I did report in the news exactly what Tony said. They did speak out earlier, and I reported that yesterday they went right to the medical facility because they couldn't walk. If you notice, they needed assistance. Your bones are weakened. Your bone density is actually weakened. Your internal organs. I mean, if you look at the medical impact of that zero gravity, it's a very big deal. And so this is something that I don't see people reporting it. I don't. I don't see anybody talking about for the past 9 months. And I'll just ask you this. If this happened during Trump, and we had President Trump at the time, or even now, with astronauts up in space,
he'd be impeached.
They would say, "Oh, this is look at Trump." These
did
poor
Biden
people.
Send them up there?
Well, it was under his administration. Did he personally send them up there?
They went up when? In September or before September?
No, it
now
was
remember,
like June.
Guys, June. They went up. They went up with the Boeing Starliner. Boeing had its own capsule, and they sent those two astronauts in the Boeing capsule up to the space station.
And Boeing
they
was got really there. Bad here too.
Yeah, but Boeing got, and that Boeing's been cooperating. But Boeing, when they went up there, they had problems with the thrusters. So they didn't want to take a chance of trying to come back and having something terrible happen. So they left that capsule up there on the space station. But then Joe Biden had a chance to have Elon Musk offered to send, because remember, that capsule that returned yesterday and splashed down in the sea of course, the Gulf of America, right off of Tallahassee here in the Gulf Coast, that thing was sent up four times. So that's not a one and done thing. They bring it back and then they send it up. So that capsule has made four trips to the space station. So it's not like, you know, they have to get a new one all the time. That's the problem. The problem was those people came back because they were only two that went up on the Starliner. They were stuck up there for 9 months. And when the other astronauts who came back with them, they completed their mission. The other two astronauts, the Russian and the American, who came back yesterday afternoon, they were there in September when they went up. So that crew, Sonny and the other guy, they've seen four different missions come and go since they've been up there.
Yeah. And by my count, I mean, they blasted off June 5th. I mean, Elon Musk correctly last night, it was practically 10 months.
Okay.
In space,
June 5th. Yeah. That was 3 weeks before Biden's debate against Trump. So, wow.
So think about what you just said.
Yeah.
Think about the timely nature of this.
I think they probably realized after Biden's debate on June 27th that they'd rather just stay in space than come back.
It just shows you
JK on the stream, that capsule looks like it went through Philly streets for 6 months.
they shot it off from Kensington.
It just shows you what they were worried about. They were worried about the look of everything. They were worried about the election. Yeah. They weren't worried about our safety. They weren't worried about these astronauts' safety, in my opinion.
I agree with Nick. I think that some reporter, some journalist should ask that question. Like, I don't understand why nobody's asked that question.
My point on that repeatedly, Greg, is that the astronauts, if you're up there in the ISS, Elon Musk is not calling you. Do you know what I'm saying? So they may not be aware. They probably learned from somebody asking them. But they personally didn't get the phone. Hey, you want to come home? I got a SpaceX.
Well, but I'm sure they had to have communication with somebody in a position of authority that has knowledge of the situation to figure out how you're going to get these. I mean, they can do.
I'm not sure of that, Nick.
Well, they can do an interview on Fox and Friends, but they can't find out from their bosses what the hell's going on.
Exactly. I'm just not. I'm just saying to you that they may not be the ones, but you know, there is this thing called Freedom of Information Request.
Sure.
There should be transparency, and we should be allowed by the past administration to find out. What were those conversations? Did anybody have a conversation? Well, we can't let SpaceX. So in other words, who turned down SpaceX? This is the real question. Who turned down SpaceX? Mm-hmm.
This is the equivalent of Sam Bankman-Fried doing an interview with Tucker Carlson and nobody in the jail cell knew about it. And then they threw him in solitary confinement. Hey, bro, you can't do media.
Wait a minute. You're wrong. They couldn't interview them yesterday because they were coming back and going right to the medical facility on the helicopter. Yeah,
no, I'm not saying it needs to be done now in like the next 12 hours. They got to go through medical checks, the whole bit. I'm saying in these last handful of months.
Well, after they were finally taken off, NASA had a news conference around 7. They came down at 7 o'clock. And they quickly got them out of there. But then the NASA people, they had three people on a table having a news conference. And one was from the International Space Station. The other one was from NASA. The other one was from SpaceX. And they all agreed that Donald Trump and his administration and Elon Musk with SpaceX and NASA were the ones who decided they had to get them out of there as soon as possible because they were up there longer than any other astronaut in the International Space Station has ever been.
Yeah.
So this was a medical situation. It wasn't just we'll get to you next time. You know, it's not like they were staying in a hotel and then they got a free couple extra months and are not complaining about it. They were in space for 9 freaking months.
Yeah.
Now, would that have to be edited now?
No. Here's the other question that needs to be asked and answered. How did they survive under the assumption they were only going up for 6 months? What did they do?
Because they grow their own food up there, Nick.
Yeah.
They have
really?
Gardens. Yes.
Yeah.
And by the way, they have other spacecraft that go up.
Don't you watch
bring
Black
them
Mirror?
New provision.
No. No.
Come on, man.
Come on, man.
I just wait to be educated on the air.
There's a great Black Mirror episode with who's in it? It's about space and
John, I don't think I know everything. John says I don't think I know everything. I have followed this very closely. I've been watching spacecraft come down into the ocean since back in the 60s.
Yep.
Okay? And they've always recovered. That's the amazing thing with the technology. You know, when the space, whether they were the Gemini, the Apollo, whatever they were, they always splashed down and you'd wait for the ship to show up and get them out. So that hasn't changed. The technology of the rockets landing back on the pad, that's all the new stuff. But recovering astronauts with parachutes in the ocean has been going on for 60 years.
It's known as RIDGE, radiation isolation, confinement, distance from Earth, gravity effects, and hostile environments.
RIDGE. Not Tom Ridge.
No.
Not Tom Ridge, the former governor of Pennsylvania.
Former Homeland Security Chief.
Not Ridge Pike.
Blood clots, pooling, reductions in bone density, poor digestion, lower nutrient absorption, musculoskeletal atrophy. In other words, you have muscle and bone loss. It hurts your heart function and reduces your blood pumping. It's all zero gravity effects.
All I'm saying is that I don't swallow anything anybody tells me as fact, whether it's this administration or whether it's Scott Kelly or whatever the hell this guy's name is. I want to have a open mind about this, and it just doesn't add up because yes, the Biden administration was horrible, of course, but it just doesn't make any sense to me that he would leave him up there for no reason. It just doesn't.
And that's Mark's brother, correct?
Yeah.
Okay.
And yeah, Mark's a NASA guy. They're both astronauts.
They're both former astronauts.
They're astronauts, but they're Democrats, so they can't be correct.
No.
Well, they're airheads.
Look, let me just say this. Let me just show you his bias, okay? Here they are. This was this celebratory homecoming. It was wonderful. And what does he do? And you heard the cut. He says, earlier on year 5, you had this. And he goes on with critiquing the fact because he's an astronaut and he knows everything. Okay, so either you believe that that Elon Musk did not offer, which is why they did ask him later, Did you offer to bring them home months and months earlier? The answer is yes, absolutely. SpaceX was offering, we can bring them home, we can get that home. So either you believe it's political, or to Greg Stocker's point, you believe that, I imagine the government has never really done that before, relying on a private entity, albeit obviously SpaceX receives all the government entities and funding, and they work directly hand in hand with the government. So either you believe that they just didn't trust a private entity or that partnership, which they funded, which makes no sense, or you think it's political.
I'll tell you the lesson.
Those are the only two options.
Here's the lesson I've learned the last 15 minutes. I'm not going to space. If I ever had an inkling to go up there, I ain't going.
You wouldn't know what to do.
No. I'm going to stay on my pontoon boat. I'm going to navigate to Tony Bruno.
Yeah.
But I disagree.
Damn right.
I think the fact that Elon Musk, that you, and that's my question, have we ever had that with a private partnership, you know, funded by government? You know what I mean? Like, that gives me more confidence.
Now, I saw other astronauts, former astronauts, saying, remember, the last time we were flying, NASA was flying spacecraft with the Challengers. Remember the space shuttles? That program has not been in effect since 2011. That's how long we haven't been flying. So private enterprise, that's where Starlink came in. NASA wasn't really sending any craft up. Elon Musk and SpaceX revolutionized it. Elon Musk saved the space system because it's a combination of private enterprise and NASA, which is still in existence, working together to launch satellites. They actually bring freight up. It's like a commercial company that brings satellites up. People from all over the world, countries are using SpaceX to launch things into space, satellites and other products that the government couldn't do anymore because we stopped the shuttle program. We have not had a space program since 2011, thanks to SpaceX and NASA combining efforts, private and government enterprise. We now have an actually productive and responsible space, and the entire world is involved. It's not just an American thing.
I think we can all agree on this, though, that Elon Musk is now public enemy number one between the Tesla firebombings.
I agree with that.
NASA, space.
I agree with that 100%. He's even more of a target, in my opinion, than Trump is.
The only thing left to do, and I've said it in the big take when we've talked about this, is
Trump is smart for keeping him close.
Thank God he hasn't been shot at yet.
Yeah,
but that's the only thing separating him and Trump.
Trump is smart for keeping him close because he makes him like this guy's doing this.
Yeah,
he's
my
know.
Shield.
Exactly.
You know what?
Exactly.
Maybe that's the true reason Vivek Ramaswamy left, because Vivek knew in a game of rock, paper, scissors.
Ramaswamy.
Right? Ramaswamy, Vivek knew, between Trump, Elon, and Vivek, who would be the most hated guy? Vivek.
Oh, yeah.
Do you know what I mean? So he was like, I'm not going to be the most hated. Let Elon take that.
By the way, Vivek read all 80,000 pages last night in 9 minutes.
No,
whole file.
And I'm done.
Chat,
in all seriousness, has anybody put the JFK files through Grok?
You know, I saw people tweeting that last night.
Did they?
And posting the responses, yes. And
it's a pain because they released like 2,000 files. That's why I kept asking Greg, did they finally, because they released like 2,000 some files. Some of them are like one page, then two page. So if you go, because I always go to the government site. So if you go to the actual site, the way they release, then it's a pain to try to put it through Grok.
Yeah.
I just put it through Grok right now. I just typed it in. I said, who killed JFK? It gives you a long-winded answer. But a lot of people say Grok is broken. That's not good.
Well, Grok, somebody asked Grok who is the biggest disseminator of misinformation, and Grok says Elon Musk.
No, so, his own app.
His own app said him.
What if he said Grok?
Wow.
It's amazing.
Oh, and then Elon Musk said to Grok,
go yourself.
Yeah. We have to take a quick time out and then more. Tony, you got to bounce, right?
No, I don't have to bounce.
All right, good.
Oh.
All right, I'm good. Free to move about the country.
All right, then we're going to do more.
I'm swimming with the dolphins in the Gulf of America. I'm so happy. Come on, guys.
I have a lot more from Trump with the Ingram angle, where he talks about Canada. He talks about his phone call with Russia, plus the judge situation that we haven't even gotten into. He discusses all that. We'll get to that on the other side. Okay.
I'm also getting tweets saying that Laura Ingram was very testy and was challenging him.
Haven't. I wonder if Greg thinks she was acceptable.
Wow.
Because she
was. I mean, she should be.
Yes.
She should be. It's not state-run media.
Yeah.
I'm glad that they get access to this administration, but don't give them a, you know,
a bunch of softballs.
No, right. Give her, I was going to.
No, they asked, she asked him tough questions.
She did. Yeah. I just think.
Unlike Sean Hannity, Sean Hannity has to tell his entire life story before he asks the question.
Yeah.
I'm surprised he didn't tell us all about the wedding, how much weight he's lost for the wedding.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
I know people were complaining last night. I can't believe Laura's challenging Trump. Not a good look. This is why I watch Newsmax.
Okay. The only reason I would say they edit, obviously it was not live. So my only criticism of it, because sometimes she really talks over him and Laura, I know you're trying to look tough, but truthfully, it's edited. So you could just wait till he finishes and then ask your question. Yeah. So part of that, I just want to point out to you, is that was show.
Yeah, she's got Hannity syndrome. 855.
No, the opposite. She's trying to not look like Hannity, to your point. You know what I'm saying?
She's trying to be spunky like Caitlin Collins.
Maria Bartiromo did a good job of pushing back on him, too.
So. Yeah.
Maria's just more artful at it, I think.
There you go. So shout out to all the broads standing
the
up.
The broads.
Yeah.
Can I say that,
or do we have to dump that as well?
Broads.
Don't try to make a succinct point, and
I like a spunky
Laura
female.
Ingram would kick your butt.
Yeah. She would.
Look at her. She's like, she's very fit.
By the way, EKZ.
How about Tim Walz? Can you take Tim Walz in a one-on-one?
I'm actually going to issue the challenge right now as we wrap up. I will fight Tim Walz at WrestleMania 41.
Oh, here we go.
And if I lose, I will give a year's salary to the Travis Mannion Foundation.
Wow.
Would push back.
The challenge has been laid down.
I would perform the Stone Cold Stunner on Tim Walz.
Tim Walz, you and I, buddy. Hell in the Cell.
By the way, EKZ, in responding, Nick, to you going to space, he said there's a lot of space between your ears.
There is. My head's a 7 5/8. That's the size for
the By the way, quickly, the greatest tweet is from Glenn Jacobs. You know who he is. He's the mayor of that town in Tennessee.
Yeah,
Knox County,
he's
brother.
Kane. He actually posted a picture of Tim Walz in a onesie with the red, white, now with the rainbow.
Yeah.
And he says, with that steady stare and chiseled physique, who wouldn't be intimidated seeing this across the ring from you? Yep. And it's a picture of Tim Walz in one of those the singlets with all the rainbow colors on it.
Amazing.
I believe Kane will be joining us for TMF on Friday.
I believe you are correct. Yes, yeah. I believe you're correct.
Oh, yeah. Kane. Yes. Kane. All right. And is the Undertaker joining him, too? Because he's awesome, too.
Undertaker's a Trump guy as well. Yeah. All right, back after this with Tony Bruno. Stay right there.
Start your day with Kale and Company. Weekday mornings 6 till 10 on Talk Radio 1210, WPHT, and the free Odyssey app.